It is a good new year. I'm excited about it. But not everything in 2020 was bad. Amanda was sharing with our staff. Just look at this picture of her. Yeah. I know. She was sharing with our staff on Tuesday. Come over here. This is Pastor Kevin's wife, and she was just sharing kind of what God had done in her life this last year. And I thought, you know, man, this is, it's just real. It's just who we are. You see us on Sunday, but then there's that life Monday, Tuesday, you know, all the way to Sunday again. And Amanda was sharing with us. I thought, Amanda, you just got to share kind of how God challenged you and just as we look forward to this next year.
Hi. I took that picture just for a couple people to see, but hey, you never know what's going to happen. But I am actually really proud of that picture, to be honest. That picture represents my whole year last year. I was in the Word every single day. I did the whole Bible in 1 year for the first time in my life. Thank you. I am really proud of myself. Every day, I did it through an app that helped me read through it. And so I just shared that with the group on Tuesday. I was just super thrilled about that accomplishment, right? I had wanted to do that forever, and I'm just really proud that I stuck with it, and I think it's the greatest year of that I could have done that, 2020, to stay grounded in God's Word every morning. I just have a different spirit in me, I feel like, with that accomplishment. It's hard to explain. I don't know. But not all the year was spectacular, right? As we have just said, it's been a challenging year. I will say, honestly, I had like my first panic attack this year. I didn't know what that felt like until this year, and I have been dealing with that. Also, this is kind of funny. I hope I kind of forget it, but I haven't yet. But one day, we did virtual learning, and a bunch of things went wrong. And I just kind of freaked out about three or four things. And after it all, Levi, my oldest, says, "So, Mom, is that like a mini meltdown?" I was like, okay. Yes. So I had a rough year and I had a great year, all wrapped in one, because through it all, I stayed grounded. I really stayed grounded. And I had all the emotions. I had all the things, all the feelings, because it was really hard. A lot of new things came to us. And how are we going to deal with those things? And so I'm just excited to share that I stayed in God's Word this year. And I challenge you guys. I know maybe you've done the whole Bible in a year, and that is awesome, and I applaud that. Maybe you're in the middle of it. Keep going. It's so good. After you get all through the genealogy and the temple measurements and all those things. No, those are all good. It just is super exciting. It's super exciting to rediscover how much God is for us. We sing about it. But it's so true. It's true. God's Word, just over and over, confirm that this year in how much God is for me, how much God loves me, and can handle all things. He has been handling all things from the beginning. Amen. And so I was just able to stand on that every morning before whatever was going to happen, and it wasn't pretty most days with my kids at home. But I looked forward to the mornings where I could, okay, here we go. Read the Word, read the truth, and then step into my day from there. The best thing I could have done. And that's my challenge to you. I was challenged recently reading through Jonah. We all know the story of Jonah. The prophet, God told Jonah, please go to Nineveh. They're being terrible. And Jonah says, no. That is a crazy, intimidating city. I guess it was one of the biggest cities, I think, in the world at that time. Crazy things were going on. Jonah says, I don't want to do that. And so he goes the opposite direction, right? We know Nineveh's here. Let's say that's New York. Jonah goes this way to San Francisco and then probably on to Hong Kong. Like, that's what he wanted. He just wanted to go and be away. And then we all know the ship, the whale. But I really got struck by the time in the ship, okay? Before the whale, Jonah goes on this ship and just wants to get away, and he falls asleep. And then, there's this big storm. The sailors are freaking out. They pray to their gods to no avail. Nothing happened. They found Jonah totally fast asleep, and he's the one that knows the true God. Okay? And they said, come on, you need to pray, or you're the problem. Basically, you know, at the end, it's like, you're the problem, get off, you know, and he knew it, but he was asleep through a lot of it. And God challenged me with that story. I've heard it 1,000 times. I grew up in the church. I am the church girl. And I thought going into reading Jonah, I'm not going to learn anything new. I've heard all the Jonah. Anyway, so God stopped me at the part where he's asleep, and he just challenged, he's like, please don't be asleep. Please don't be asleep right now. Okay? God is giving us so many ways to respond to him, to be lights in our world, to stand up like we read it or we're singing about. God is big enough. We can stand up against it because no one can stand against him, and he's on our side. And God just challenged me, please don't be sleeping right now. Satan is also throwing a lot of trials and tribulations and battles our way that we cannot be asleep for. And so I was thinking, well, am I asleep? I don't know. How do I know? And I read, and sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, I'll also read a commentary along it, you know, because I read a lot and I don't understand everything. We all don't. So sometimes I go to a commentary. And so I started reading this commentary on Jonah, and it was really cool when it spoke about this time of Jonah sleeping in the boat. And it was Spurgeon, really famous preacher back in the day. Anyway, he said, you know, some Christians don't think they're sleeping because they say, I don't want to mess this up, we talk about Jesus. And he says, well, we can talk in our sleep. Okay? I have a walk with Jesus. I walk with him. Well, we can walk in our sleep. I praise Jesus. I just cried this morning at worship. We can have feelings and cry in our sleep. I think about Jesus all the time. We can think in our sleep. It's called dreaming. Okay? That just challenged me so much. And I'm like, God, I don't want to be sleeping. I do not want to be sleeping right now. You have so much that I can be doing. And I think that when we live like heaven and hell is for real, I think you can't be sleeping. That's how I know. Heaven and hell are for real. And I have to take my diligent step every day to live like it's for real. And you see people differently. You love people differently. When that light is on, saying this is for real. And so God's just been challenging me over and over in ways that I wasn't expecting. So it's like it's keeping you on your toes, you know. It's just been so good. I've been able to journal about it and keep it, and I can go back because this is also what I've been learning. The journey with Christ is a lot about, okay, I'm going to remember, and then I forget. And then I remember, but then I'm going to forget, but I can remember. And that's the story of the Israelites, right? We know it, and we get so upset at them. We're like, you need to know God is on your side. Why can't you know that? Why can't you remember that? They kept turning their back, turning, and that's just what we do too. So God's challenged me too. It's okay. You can forget, but then you can remember. It's not all lost. And so I'm just happy, I guess, to share that with you guys and share what God's doing. And I want to challenge you to be awake. It's exciting. It's scary, but it's also exciting to be awake and ready and here for what God is doing. And so if you haven't read the Bible in 1 year, I really challenge you to do it. It's really cool. I'm going to do it this year chronologically. We'll see how that goes. And if you're in the middle of it, keep going, okay? And if you've done it, encourage all of us again to do it. So there's my words for you this morning.
Thank you. It's a new year, and a lot of us make challenges. The way that challenges work is daily. And this has been a good year. Our son Kevin was at our house and his wife for Christmas, and we were talking, and he said, "You know what, Dad? I know there's this thing you want, and let me help you with it, but we're going to make a deal. You're going to lose weight this year, and I'll pay for this thing, and if you don't, then you owe me the money." And I said, "No problem. And if you want to do something that works, buy a scale. You want to lose weight, you get on the scale. You know how do you lose weight? Discipline daily." Why am I telling you this? Because May 3rd, I will lose this year. May 3rd's, actually it's May 4th, it's the day our son's birthday. He said, "Dad, you're going to lose 30 pounds before my birthday. And if you don't, what we bought is all gone and you lose it all." So I'm going two 248 is what I weigh right now. Some of you are like, "Wow, you look so good." Thank you. So do you. But I'm going to go to 218 by May 4th. You want to grow in God? You grow daily. And it's a beautiful thing because you're not going to live forever, right? I read some statistics that, you know, basically we're going to live around 75 years. Now, if you're 25 years old, that seems like a long time. If you're 57 or older, that doesn't seem as long as it actually is. And so you're going to spend about 3 solid years, 24 hours a day, getting educated. You're going to spend 7 years, 24 hours a day, eating. Some more, some less. You're going to spend 14 years working. You're going to spend about 5 years in some type of transportation, whether in your car or a plane or whatever. You're going to spend about 5 years, 24 hours a day, in conversation. Some a lot more, some a lot less. You're going to spend about a year recovering from being sick, and then you'll spend about 24 years sleeping. That's a long time. About 3 years reading books and that, then it's between, you know, how it's changing between 12 and 15 years amusing yourself, whether it's going to be watching TV, social media, going to the movies, and that totals up to about 75 years. And I thought, well, what about church? Let's say you spent 75 years every single Sunday, infancy, childhood, adulthood, into old age, and you're at a service, whether it's online or here, just like this. It's about 5.5 months. That's it. That's all the time you're going to spend. But you're like, "Wait a minute, no, there's more than that. I show up every Wednesday. Like, I'm even mad church isn't this Wednesday because it means I'm going to miss an hour." So, all right, so let's picture every single Wednesday. And by the way, do you know how you grow in God? It's not accidentally. Do you know how I'm going to lose weight? Not accidentally. It's going to be on purpose. Do you know how you grow in God? There's never an easy way to grow in God. At least I've never found an easy way to grow in God. But Wednesday night, let you say, "Hey, Jim, I'm not only here on Sunday, I'm going to be here on Wednesday because I want to not be a sleeping Christian." So you show up every Wednesday night, you never miss it, and then your Christianity in terms of the building and growing and our time together seeking, serving, sharing ends up to be 11 months. You're spending 5 years in some means of transportation. 5 years. And basically 11 months in church. So what does this say to me? We don't have a whole lot of time. And so we need to maximize our time for the next 75 years because our time is really short. And I want to talk to you just a little bit as we start this new year. I'm excited for this new year. I want to talk a little bit about what is valuable. What is valuable to God? What is valuable to Hope Church? And the truth is, every one of our lives is driven by some agenda. And churches are also driven by an agenda. I mean, maybe some pastors wouldn't say that, but churches have agendas. And some church, it's all about programs. I want to program this, I want to program that, I want to program this, I want to program that. And, you know, in some churches, it's about personalities, power brokers. I mean, I've been in church where it's like, well, can we do that? I don't know, we better ask. And it's true. And some churches are about money. I mean, it's just true. I'm just calling it for what it is. And, you know, it's instead of being like on purpose, for how much is it? How much is it? Some churches, it's not about now. It's not about what we can do. It's about what we've done. It's life in the rearview mirror. It's about traditions. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to honor the past, live in the present, but I want to look forward to the future. But some churches, I mean, you can't change things. You can't change things. And I remember as a young pastor, there was this painting in the hallway. I thought, man, I don't know what. That just kind of looks demonic. Things, it's just so ugly. So I threw it in the dumpster. Had no idea that it was sacred. I had somebody calling, Pastor Jim, there's a huge problem. I mean, I thought somebody died. You know, okay, you know, sit down. The painting, my so-and-so painted, what happened to it? Why? Well, it means so much. It's so important. I'm like, oh, no, please, Jesus. Thankfully, I went and dove in the dumpster. I found their painting. I'm like, oh, the Holy of Holies is back. But, you know, every church is going to be led and it's going to be driven by something. There was a leading church consultant, and they conducted this survey, and they did it of over 1,000 churches. And they asked the question, why does the church exist? So picture probably every church in our area and then some. Over 1,000 churches, they asked the congregants, why does the church exist? 89% of the people who were surveyed said this, the church's purpose is to take care of my family and my needs. Isn't that interesting? And only 11% said the purpose of the church is to win the world for Jesus. Don't get me wrong, as your pastor, I care about your family. I care about your needs. But there's more to that than the church. We've also got to care about people who've never known Jesus. So, all right, more than traditions, more than about programs, personalities, people who are power brokers, I love what Jesus says. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I'm going to build my church, he says. And I look at that and I say, all right, you know what? It's not our church. It's his church. He'll build it, and he'll protect it. I love that. And so when it comes to church, when it comes to running a church, what goes through our heads or what should go through our heads? We want to run the church and look at Christ's ministry as an example when he was here on earth. We want to look at the example of the New Testament church. I've been reading through the book of Acts, and I just started it again yesterday. And I'm so awestruck about Stephen, who literally lays out in Acts 7 the history of the church. And then he says, and you people who are religious, you got it all wrong. And then they're so furious, they take him outside of the city and begin to stone him to death. And instead of Stephen running and hiding and being afraid, he says, I see the heavens open and I see Jesus. And as he's dying, he repeats the words that Jesus said when he was on the cross. He says, Jesus, don't hold this against him. And he breathes his last breath. You know, we can learn from the example of Jesus. It's not super complicated. We can learn from the example of the New Testament church. We can learn from the commands that Jesus gives. And, you know, we were never intended, and I've spent a lot of years in seminary, and it doesn't really matter, but we were never intended to develop our own purpose for the church or to discover what Jesus intended. I mean, have you ever, and we did this actually the other night, it's the thing with your family. Hey, where do you want to eat? Hey, have you ever had that little discussion? Hey, where do you want to go? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Well, what about this? No. Well then why did you ask me? Right? Have you ever had one of those? And it's the same thing with the church. If we don't know where we're going, then we're going to go wherever the loudest person tells us to go. We're going to follow wherever the person says, well, I'll pay for that if you do this. We're going to go where all kinds of places. Clear direction builds unity. It helps us to focus time, energy, and resources in the direction that we really want to go. I've set up a plan for how to shed 30 pounds. And it's my own plan. Is it going to work? Absolutely. Why? Because I'm going to do it daily. Now, on Sundays, there's going to be a little more hell, fire, and brimstone because I'm going to be hungry. No, I'm just kidding you. Listen to what Paul writes to the church of Corinth. He says, let there be real harmony so there won't be any splits in the church. Be of one mind, united in thought and process. And purpose, excuse me. You know what I love about Hope Church? Well, there's a lot of things. But we have invested in missions when there was no money to do it. We have been a church that's been relentless when it comes to unity. Anyone who has gone through our purpose classes, you know this, that I've said, it's not about rules, it's about relationships. And I absolutely do not tolerate gossip. If I've got a problem with you, you'll know it. And if you have a problem with me, let me know it. And you have seen for years here unity. Now, when we say unity, don't confuse unity with uniformity. You can dress however you want to dress. You can have your hair however you want. You can wear a suit or you can not wear a suit. Unity does not mean uniformity. I want you to be you. But there will be things in common that move us in the same direction. And that's our Lord and Savior. I remember when I worked at a church and they gave us all these rules. Like in order to be on staff, I had to share my faith a certain amount of times a week. I had to do all these things. And it really was more about what I did and not who I am. Then I remember working for another pastor, and he says this, I don't care when you read the Bible, you just got to do it. I don't care when you pray, but you've got to make sure to pray. And why I would never tell you, you have to read your Bible in the morning, I would sure, as strongly as I could put it, say, you're not going to be a close follower of Jesus if you don't discipline yourself to read your Bible. I would never say to you, you have to pray at noon. But I will, as strongly as I can say it, say if you never pray, I would say you're asleep. And you don't have the relationship with Christ that you think you do. I mean, if we never talked, we don't have a relationship. If I don't exercise, I'm not going to lose weight. If I continue to approach every meal like the Last Supper, I'm not going to lose. And here's the thing, I'm not telling you, you do whatever you want to do. When it comes to this, this is what I need to do. And then whatever you need to do, I want to support you. But I need accountability. And if you see me with a donut, you take that donut. If you see me eating, you know, I mean, I love fried food. I'm like dreaming about it right now. Today, I'm like trying to think, okay, how many bad meals can I eat today because my new world starts tomorrow? It just does. But do you understand? You're not going to tell me, well, I know you get, well, Jim, here's how I do it. It's all good. Appreciate your input. Hold me accountable. Who holds you accountable to growing in the Lord? It's super important. It's so important, especially in days like today. I wrote this down, and I hope I've explained it well. To me, purpose at Hope Church is not just doing things right. When I think of purpose at Hope Church, I think about doing the right things. I think about, Lord, how do you want us to do this? How do you want us to do that? It's more than just doing things right. It's why? Why are we doing this? What is the purpose of this? And as a church, well, really it has to do with all of us. Somebody had said, there are two great days in a person's life, the day we're born and then the day we figure out why we're here. And the greatest motivator in my entire life is when Jesus said to me, this is what I want you to do with the rest of your life. This is what I am calling you to do until we meet face to face. And as a church, it's really important that our purpose, our roots, our foundation, and as I was writing my sermon, I wrote, where the beanstalk grows. I thought, I have no idea what that means. But I think what I was trying to get at, well, I think I was hungry and thinking about upcoming. But where the beanstalk grows, I have no idea what this means, but I'm just making things up right now. It's where the beanstalk's planted. And it still makes no idea, but I thought, Jim, that was I laughed at myself because it makes no sense. Okay. Why do I tell you these things? The bottom line is really this. I want to be based. I want you to be thinking about. I want you and me to say, Jesus, what do you want for our church? You heard Pastor Zach mention it. There's three words that kind of things revolve around. And for some of you, this might be a little bit of a reminder, but it's a brand new year, and I just want to take 2 weeks and focus not so much on the what, but the why. There's three words we say a lot around here, and they're seek, serve, and share. When I was very young in ministry, I remember somebody saying to me, Jim, if you can just worry about three things, that's all you'll ever need to worry about when it comes to ministry. I said, well, what is that? He said, you've got to think about God and how to grow in God. And then you've got to connect with other believers. He said, so you think about God, you think about other believers. And they said, but don't forget the world. The world needs to know Jesus. And over the years, I mean, I've been a pastor for 30-some years. I ask myself this when it comes to sermons. Jim, have you taught the congregation on seeking God? Have you taught the congregation on building life with others? And have you taught the congregation on remembering the world needs Jesus? And over and over and over and over again, that's what my purpose is. And it's the same thing, which just kind of changed a little bit when it comes to seek, serve, and share. We're going to talk a little bit more about this next week, but these aren't just like a cute little slogan. You know, this is just a fun little this, a fun little that. These come straight out of the teachings of Jesus. And there's two very important teachings that Jesus gives, and they're called the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. In Matthew 22, this is what Jesus responds to. A teacher of the law asked Jesus this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the laws of Moses? And we'll talk about this next week, but there were like over 500 commands. So they did a command of a command of a command of a command. Remember, have you ever played telephone? You know, where, you know, you say, you know, God is good, and by the time, you know, it gets round and round and round and round, it comes back, you know, it's about the beanstalk. I mean, you know, it doesn't work. So he says, what's the most important? And Jesus says this, you must love the Lord your God. In other words, you need to seek him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the other commands, all of the other demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So Jesus takes 500 and some commands and he narrows it down and said, here's the scale, stand on it. Are you really loving me? And if you love me, it impacts your heart, it impacts your soul, it impacts your mind. There's not a part of you that it doesn't impact. And then he says, and by the way, if that's happening, it will impact how you look at and how you treat other people. So huge. And then in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. In other words, I'm not dead anymore. I died on purpose for your purpose. No one's stronger than I am. No one's more powerful than I am. Anything and everything that has to do with strength and power, authority in heaven and on earth is mine. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Here's what I would like you to do before next Sunday. Would you mind just pondering these two scriptures a little bit? Look at John 22, or Matthew 22 and Matthew 28, and just read these verses and say, Lord, how does this apply to church? How does this apply to my daily life? Because as we look forward into 2021, here's what we know will change. You and me. You're going to grow larger, or you're going to grow smaller. You're going to grow more spiritual, or you're going to become more worldly. We're about the only thing we can control, right? I mean, I can't control if the pandemic is going to continue. I can't control if we're taking verbiage out of our legislation process that we no longer can say a male or a female. I can't control this craziness, but I can control how I grow in the Lord. I can control me. But honestly, it's a whole lot easier to point my finger at you and think about you and all these things that you have wrong, or this, or I'm not doing that, but it's easier than to look at me. And this year can be the greatest year ever. I loved that picture of Amanda. And why did I love that? You can just see she is legit. And she's actually reflected the Lord this year. In a terrible year for all of us, right? I mean, it hasn't been a great year this last year. But would you look at these verses with me? And next week we're going to talk about them. Because when we talk about Hope Church, we can't help but say, I'm here to help you seek the Lord. I'm here to help you serve. I'm here to help you share in what God is calling you and me to do. Jesus gives us biblical directives, and they're not that hard. Do you know how I'm going to lose weight? I'm going to move. I might even get really excited on a Sunday and veer off that far that way. And I might veer off this far this way. I mean, I'm like way out there. I'm going to move. And then you know what I'm going to do? It's really difficult. I'm going to eat better. And so that's what I'm going to do. And then the result of what I'm going to do is be healthier. The result is that I'm not going to... Now, if we could do this, if we could stick a plug in me, and some of you who are too skinny and wish you could gain weight, if we could stick a plug in me and then shoot it into you, tell me, would that not be the coolest? Or if we could just rearrange my anatomy? Thanks. I mean, if I could go from this... Wouldn't that be good? But that's not reality. You can change you and be the best that God has called you to be with His help. You can have more peace. You can have more hope. You can have more strength even when things get tough if you're connected to Jesus more this year than you were last year. And that's exactly what Amanda challenged each of us. Okay, let's pray today, and I'll invite those who are going to lead us in one last song. And maybe as we're singing this song, you can say, a prayer for me. God, help Jim, because he's going to be hungry. And maybe you can say a prayer for you. God, where is it in my life this year that I could seek more, serve more, or share more? And I'm going to pray that prayer for you as we're singing this song. Here's what I'm going to pray for you. God, help my friends. I don't know what you want them to do, but I know you want them to grow. So would you help my friends to grow? Would you help them to know that there's hope in you? Would you help them to realize that we can't change the things around us, but we sure can change us? And Johnny's so good. He moves this pulpit, and the one Sunday, I didn't know he was going to do that. I was praying, then I went to put my hands down, and it was gone. That was a terrifying moment for me. I thought I was going to end up on the floor, and that would have been okay, too. I would have said, I'm falling. Could you help me get up? You know what? We need each other. I'm going to be honest with you. I love y'all. I really care about you. I care about what God's doing in me, and I care about what God's doing in you. And I know this for a fact. We do better with one another. God never wanted us to be so isolated and alone. We do better with one another. And your prayers for me this morning will mean all the difference. And I believe my prayer for you this morning will mean the difference as well. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing one last song. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You made it simple. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it is simple. You want us to love you. And then you want us to love one another. That's the first thing. We want to love you. And it's easy to get soft in our Christianity. It's been easy for me over 57 years to just kind of get soft in my eating. But then there's the consequence of that. And we want to help us. God, help us to be sharper. Sharper in your word. Help us to be seeking you and to loving others. And then, Lord, I pray for my friends. Lord, would you direct them as to what you would have them to do when the word is really clear and your last words, Jesus, were, go and make disciples. This world's not about us. It's about you. It's about serving you. It's about accomplishing the greatest purpose on the planet. Help us this year, we pray. Bless these friends, I pray. Bless those at home, I pray. Encourage them. Lift them up, Lord. We give this new year to you. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.